Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks. It is still unclear whether members of the House will vote today on a new speaker as Republicans work to rally votes for Steve Scalise. The Louisiana Republican won his party's nomination last night to replace Kevin McCarthy.
We need to make sure we're sending a message to people all throughout the world that the House is open and doing the people's business. And our first resolution that we pass under Speaker Steve Scalise will be to make it clear that we stand with Israel.
The U.S. can't allocate funds until the House approves a new speaker. Bombings and fighting on both sides of Israel's war with Hamas have now killed 2,200 people, including 22 Americans. Dr. Ghassan Abu Sidda works in Gaza's largest trauma hospital.
In the 2 days that I've been around the hospital, I've not seen any men of fighting age. All I've seen are women and children and elderly patients who are being taken out from underneath the rubble in their homes.
Linda Gradstein's in Jerusalem for us and says a ground offensive in Gaza is expected soon.
Most of the anger is directed at Hamas and the brutality. And as the stories come out of what happened, it's really hard to believe. And, you know, even left-wing Israelis are saying Israel can no longer live with Hamas.
Terror experts say Hamas militants could still be hiding somewhere in Israel. A fundraiser is growing now for an Olympian fighting for her life in Texas. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
A day after word got out from Mary Lou Retton's daughter that her mom was fighting for her life in ICU at a Texas hospital, she's helped raise a lot of money. An online fundraising page put out by McKenna Kelly was hoping for $50,000 for her Olympic gold medalist mom to help with medical bills. Kelly says Retton does not have insurance and has been battling pneumonia. Donations now are nearing $300,000.
ACT scores have dropped to their lowest in more than three decades.
This is the cohort of students who were fresh in March 2020 at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Rose Babington's with the nonprofit that gives the ACT. Climate change is changing the taste of a cold one.
There's no beer without hops. But now researchers say the European hop fields that account for close to 90% of the global supply are feeling the effects of three decades of warmer, drier conditions. By 2050, they say yields could be down by a fifth, and those crops left will have lost much of the chemical complexity that gives different beers their distinctive tastes. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Millions of people will be watching the Powerball numbers closely tonight. The jackpot's now the second biggest lottery prize ever at $1.73 billion. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. In Waukesha, the transition to Lake Michigan water is underway, with about 90% of the people expected to complete the switch by Friday. People in cul-de-sacs and dead ends may already have access to Lake Michigan water. However, it could take 3 to 4 weeks for crews to fully open hydrants and conduct necessary tests to confirm the presence of Lake Michigan water in those areas. During the process, people may experience discolored water. Updates on the transition can be seen in real time through a map on the City of Waukesha website. The Milwaukee Health Department has confirmed a case of measles in a city resident who works in Waukesha County. The person testing positive took precautions after showing symptoms, and health officials at both the local and state level are working to identify and notify those who may have been exposed to the virus. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin, still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. It doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the... It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kreutz. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. And we just got a news alert that I'll share with you right from the start. Then we're going to go to another topic and then come back to this one. Just now, the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives announced that by a vote of 113 to 99, they have elected or are going to propose Steve Scalise for the next speaker over Jim Jordan. 113 over 99. Now, a couple of things on that. The overall House is 221 to 212. It takes 217 votes to elect a speaker. So that means they can only afford to lose four people. Already six Republicans have said they will not vote for Steve Scalise over Jim Jordan. They will not do it. Marjorie Taylor Greene is one of them, as you can imagine, the usual suspects. But six of them said they won't, which would mean that Steve Scalise can't get elected. By comparison, when Kevin McCarthy was endorsed by his caucus, and just so you understand, when a speaker is going to be voted on, the party with the most members, so in this case it's the Republican Party, has a private secret caucus. They vote among themselves which of two or three or four candidates they want as speaker. And then even though that's a small minority of what's needed overall, the party is supposed to coalesce behind whoever it is, and then he's the speaker. Well, then, because of six have already come out and said they won't vote for Scalise, but there are really eight of them that went after McCarthy. There will be another 15 ballots unless this time Scalise is smart, sits down with the Democrats and says, look, I will put in a clean bill. I'll put in a clean bill for a year budget. No funny stuff. It's going to include funding for Ukraine and funding for Israel. And we're going to stick to the deal that Kevin McCarthy made with Joe Biden. If he says that, in my judgment, Hakeem Jeffries has to give him eight votes to put him over the top. And it would have to be people who are in such safe seats, are so well regarded that they're unassailable. In other words, you won't have primary opponents coming at him from the left. Somebody like Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, Hakeem Jeffries himself, people of that nature. So stand by, but I am going to get now to the the vicious, sadistic attack by Hamas against Israeli citizens, the Israeli response, and where we're going from here. It was just announced today that Israel has formed an emergency bipartisan governing coalition, a war management cabinet. The three members are Benjamin Netanyahu, he's the prime minister, the defense minister, Yoav Gallant, and an ex-defense minister, a former one, Benny Gantz, who is a moderate guy. He's the head of an opposition party. There are two observers, Ron Dermer, strategic affairs administrator or minister, and Gadi Eisenkot. He's a former chief of staff to Israel Defense Force. They further decided that none of the senior people in government will be replaced or attacked in Israel until this is over. And they further have decreed that there will be no bill proposed, nothing proposed that isn't related to the war and the response to Hamas. Now, let's talk about a few things. What has the response been internationally? The response internationally has been strong. It's been superb. Joe Biden has given one of the toughest speeches I've ever seen him give. It was magnificent, standing by Israel. More data came out on what happened in one of the kibbutzes. And this is not a settler kibbutz or anything of that nature. This is part of Israel. They came across the decapitated heads of infants and toddlers. These savages from Hamas went into homes, beheaded infants, 6 months old, 10 months old, beheaded toddlers in front of their parents, kidnapped the parents, and now have taken them to Gaza. And these people are savages. They're terrorists. The whole idea of murdering infants in front of their mothers and savoring the anguish has been used before in history. The Japanese did it in the Second World War. They capture a village, they would throw infants in the air and catch them on their bayonets right in front of their mothers. In the 17th century, the English went into Ireland under Cromwell and murdered infants in front of their mothers. But the point is, we're talking about the 21st century now. Japan no longer does that. Britain no longer does that. It is not possible to negotiate with people who cut off the heads of infants in front of their mothers. It is not possible to do that. Nevertheless, give you some examples. The NYU, New York University Student Bar Association president, Raina Workman, put out a statement saying that the Hamas slaughter was necessary and was the fault of Israel. There's a rally in Times Square. The Democratic Socialists of America marched to the Israeli embassy to taunt them. Some of them displayed swastikas in addition to Palestinian flags. Let me tell you a reality. There is two standards on conduct. One of them is applied to Judeo-Christianity into the West, and that is proportionate responses, no cruelty. The other one is everybody else. If the shoe were on the other foot, and this had happened, and Israelis had done this, the Syrians, anybody in the Islamic world, anybody in the communist world would go in and exterminate all 2 million people in Gaza. We don't do that. We do not do that. But it is impossible not to go in and eliminate Hamas once and for all. They are sadistic. They are genocidal. This is an attack on Jews. And before people start virtue signaling and worrying about things, let me ask you some questions. Do you think that our bombing of Hiroshima was justified? A lot of civilians were killed there. How about the bombing of Nagasaki? How about the bombing of Dresden? A lot of German civilians were killed in citizen bombings in Germany in the Second World War. How about the Nazi bombing of London? Many people killed there. The taproot behind all of this, as I've said in the previous show, is Iran. Some people say, well, we have not yet discovered smoking gun fingerprints saying that Iran directed this. Iran has supplied Hamas for I don't know how many years with 93% or 94% of its munitions. And there was an announcement today at the urging of Iran. This is a guy in Iraq. Iraq, he's a Shiite. Iran is Shiites. His name is Ahmad Abu Hussein Hamadawi. He's the head of Kataib Hezbollah militia in Iraq. And he announced at the urging of Iran that his Hezbollah militia, remember, you'll see, you think of Hezbollah, you think of Lebanon. Well, they have one in Iraq, too. That's a term of art. They will now attack American targets in Iraq. We have soldiers. We have about 2,500 soldiers in Iraq. Iran has also urged Hezbollah in Lebanon to attack Israel. I'll tell you something. What do we do? And I'll tell you the answer. We stand with Israel. We stand completely with Israel, with Western civilization. And people in our government who are interfering with that have got to be taken out of our government. Let me give you a couple of examples. You have somebody like Rand Paul, who blocked Iron Dome funding for several months in 2022 until they found a way around him. You have people like J.D. Vance, people like Paul Gosar. But you have people on our side, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Jamila Priyapal, even AOC, all of their responses have been, we've got to stop the violence, there's fault on both sides. That's baloney. This has penetrated our media on MSNBC. Ayman Mujahideen, Mehdi Hassan, both of them, their whole orientation is attack Israel for the invasion of Gaza. They never mentioned beheaded infants. They never mentioned a six-month-old having its head cut off in front of its mother. Mehdi Hassan never does that. Ayman Mujahideen never does that. Ayman Mujahideen was born in Egypt. Mehdi Hassan used to be a reporter for Al Jazeera. I'm tired of these people on both sides. I'm tired of the democracy-destroying, Trump and Putin-loving right that threatens our democracy and is our primary enemy right now. I'm also tired about the identity politics cult of the Islamo left. Israel, Western civilization are under attack, and we will defend them. We're coming to a break. I see you on the lines. Don't hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wooden installed installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 56 this afternoon under overcast skies. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 37 tonight. Mainly clear skies. Mainly clear tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 59. Mid-50s Thursday and Friday. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. Chance for scattered storms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Andrew of Detroit, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today. Andrew of Detroit.
Hey, Matt, another day. I'm not going to agree with you, but you know, that's what it is. I'm starting to hear some scuttlebutt about what Egypt might have known and what Egypt might have told Benjamin Netanyahu. About the, maybe he was trying to do a Bush Jr. and, oh, you know, I can get reelected if I have a war going on. You got to remember, this guy's got two indictments against him, and he's in there right now trying to reorganize the whole judicial system and everything else. You know, Matt, what Hamas did was horrible. What Hezbollah might do is going to be horrible. All those bombings you mentioned were horrible. But with our technology now, we can pinpoint this, that, and whatever else. And that kind of stuff needs to be done. Strategic targets, not just cluster bomb the whole Gaza Strip. Shut off all the food. Shut off all the water. Shut off all that. There's no fair here. What needs to happen is somebody needs to throw Benjamin Netanyahu over the wall into Gaza and see how he likes it. Thanks, Matt. Have a good day.
Well, as usual, Andrew, I agree with nothing that you said. However, I like it when you call. You have a sense of humor. And let's talk a little bit about history and what happened. Here's the deal. What Andrew is suggesting is that there was information given in advance to Benjamin Netanyahu about what was going to happen. And he deliberately ignored it. This is what Andrew's saying, so that there'd be a war that could get him reelected. And that picks up on what Andrew's other statement was, that George W. Bush, there was certainly CIA information that something was afoot early on. They didn't have an idea of exactly what. And it was basically not followed up on or ignored. And that somehow Bush did that to ensure that he'd be reelected, because at the time he was low in the polls, because it just come out that he'd used cocaine until he was 34 years old and he was seen as a lightweight. Now, let's talk about the real history of this. It is true that there was the CIA picks up chatter, and in the case of 9/11, there was absolutely no specifics that were ignored. It was chatter, and in retrospect, they should have put out more warnings to airports. With the Benjamin Netanyahu thing, I saw an interview in the last day with a high-ranking Israeli who was asked directly, did you have information that this was coming and it was ignored? And he was very careful to say. What he said was truthful. He said, we had no specific information. I infer from that, I read from that, that there's always chatter, and it was always talk about trouble occurring. I do not believe that Netanyahu or anyone else had a clue as to the extent of this, as to what was contemplated in the past on the West Bank. There's been stone throwing and this sort of thing. There have been fights over trespasses on mosques. One of the problems is in Jerusalem. There's a site that is incredibly holy to Muslims and also incredibly holy to Jews. It's the same thing. Quite frankly, Jerusalem is very holy to Christians. But what's happened was, so what I think happened is Netanyahu did mass troops, but he massed them near the West Bank because the thought was that in the past is where the terrible stuff had happened. These terrible things came out of Gaza and were not contemplated, and they responded as quickly as they could. And when you say, and then I'm going to go to the lines because I see you in the lines. When you say, Andrew, that somehow it's wrong to seal off Gaza and all that, substitute the word ISIS for Hamas. When there is an ISIS camp in Syria, for example, or Iraq, who murdered hundreds of thousands of Christians and they're in there, there's nobody in that camp who is not sympathetic to ISIS and to jihad. Nobody. There's nobody in Gaza who isn't sympathetic, theoretically, to Hamas and jihad. I'm sure there are many that wouldn't have done what these people did. How do you handle that? How do you handle that? Israel has tried to offer peace for 30 years, 99% of what they wanted, and no nation up until the Abraham Accords would agree to recognize it. Go to the break, not at the break, the lines. David of Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's in your mind today?
Yeah, hi, Matt. Yeah, since World War II, international law has developed quite significantly. And I don't think the West definitely would.
Yeah, I don't think the West definitely would not have done the firebombing of Dresden or Japan nowadays. In any event, Israel, of course, is part of the West, and they haven't either. If they had, they could win. You know, Israel could win decisively in maybe an hour, just all from the air, by just dropping bombs. They could level Gaza. But they haven't done that, and they haven't done that for decades and decades and decades, and they've allowed it to fester. And so the result is, you know, constant Hamas attacks over a period of the last quarter century or more. And now, in fact, in order to make sure that non-combatant deaths are minimized, they're going to do a ground war. They're already massing on the borders of Gaza. And, you know, this is an urban warfare. They're going to sacrifice a lot in order to prevent the greater loss of civilians had they just done it from the air. You know, this is an urban environment where you have, you know, booby traps everywhere. There's, you know, bombs in the walls, on the ceiling, you know, on the floor. Right. And then you have a huge tunnel infrastructure where you go in and, you know, they're like ghosts. All of a sudden, Hamas fighters appear out of nowhere.
Right. David, stay on the line. Calvin, keep David on the line and pick him up so we can continue his comments after the break. This is important. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. I see you other callers. Do not hang up. I'll get you right after David.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The House will recess indefinitely, which means a speaker vote will be in limbo as Republicans work on getting more support for Steve Scalise.
We have a lot of work to do, not just in the House for the people of this country,
But we see how dangerous of a world it is and how things can change so quickly.
At least 22 Americans have been killed now by Hamas, and another 17 are missing. Among them, 19-year-old Itay Chen, an American serving his first year in the Israeli Defense Forces. His father, Rudy Chen.
No one has seen him in a hospital. No one has also declared that he has been deceased. So basically, he's not been found.
NASA's Bill Nelson says scientists are finally checking out pieces of an asteroid.
This is the biggest carbon-rich asteroid sample ever returned to Earth.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. The Milwaukee Health Department says they're taking measures to stop measles from spreading further. They've reported a case of measles in a person from the city who works in Waukesha County. Health officials at both the local and state level are trying to find and inform people who may have been near the infected person. Measles is very contagious and can be passed on through coughing, sneezing, and contaminated surfaces. Anticipate a significant amount of rainfall starting tonight and continuing through Sunday morning. The rain will gradually approach from the south tonight, covering southern Wisconsin until Thursday. Friday is projected to have the most substantial rainfall, with precipitation diminishing as we head into Saturday night and Sunday. There is a chance of getting over 2 inches of rain in the region. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Wattles.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The 7th Annual Cap Times Idea Fest returned to Madison September 17th, featuring conversations with leaders in government, business, education, social justice, and culture. Idea Fest moderators and guests looked ahead to what the future could look like in Wisconsin and how we reckon with change brought on by the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and other forces. Civic Media proudly partnered with Idea Fest and will present segments of this year's recorded gathering this weekend across the Civic Media Network. Tune in Saturday at 2 p.m. on your favorite Civic Media.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to resume our the comments from David of Madison. David, please continue with what you were saying.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. As I was saying, Israel, in order to abide by international law and to minimize civilian casualties, isn't going to do this operation this from the air. If they did it from the air, they could do it without a single Israeli casualty. They're going to go in, and they're going to, in order to prevent the loss of life that would occur among civilians, you know, if they did it exclusively in air war, they're going to go in on, you know, have, as they say, boots on the ground. They're going to have people go in, and it's an incredibly dangerous environment. It's an urban environment. There's tunnels everywhere, which means that they're like, it's like, you know, being around ghosts that just pop up out of nowhere, you know, from these tunnels. You know, you think of an area secure and all of a sudden, large amounts of the enemy just pop up out of nowhere and start killing you. And Israel is going to, you know, suffer a great a loss of life as a result. Also, I think, you know, you were saying that the Hamas is very widely supported. It's incredibly naive to say that Hamas doesn't have widespread support and significant, if not widespread support for what just happened. I mean, there were celebrations in Gaza after this attack. And in fact, there were you mentioned the West. There were celebrations after 9/11 there, too. And
right.
go ahead.
No, go ahead, David. Yeah. And then I'll go to another caller. We have a couple of other calls going.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still
on. Hamas was elected. They were elected in a free and fair election in 2005, and they'd probably be elected again. You know, I just heard the Palestinian Authority just canceled elections because they knew they would lose. And lose to who? Lose to Hamas.
Yep. David, thank you for your call. Excellent call. And you're absolutely right. Right after 9/11, Rudy Giuliani at the time wasn't as toxic as he is right now. And he said that there were at least 45 celebrations of 9/11 in New York City. You know, if you assume there were 20 people at each, that's 900 people. And those are only the ones where someone complained to the police. And how many were there in L.A. and Boston and Chicago and everywhere else? We have fellow travelers in this country of jihad. It's very, very dangerous. Okay, we're going to the next in line. Do not hang up. Kurt of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Kurt?
Yeah, at the beginning of the show, you had mentioned if they go to Hakeem Jeffries to craft a deal to get the votes. And then I had to leave the show because I had a call. would Jeffries be able to create a written document to make him sign? When you stated all the things you need to fund this, you listed them all out. Is that something they can do? Could Jeffries say, okay, here's a document, sign it that you're not going to, you know, lie to us? Or is that something that just doesn't happen in the House?
that's a good common sense question from a good guy who, you know, the more you're involved in politics, the answer is a written document like that would not be binding and they won't do it. At some point, you have to look somebody in the eye and say, do you trust me? If Steve Scalise says, I will do a clean budget deal, pursuant to the deal between Biden and McCarthy in April, May, that will fund us to the next presidential election. And it's not everything I want, but, you know, Biden agreed to it and McCarthy agreed to it. And you will have the funding for Israel and Ukraine. If Steve Scalise looks him in the eye and says, you have my word, you know, I mean, at some point at that level, you have to go with that. What I'm afraid, and we're going to get to that segment in a second, right after the next caller, but what I'm afraid is that they will gin up the votes without Democratic votes, and the price that Scalise will pay will be to say to Jim Jordan, Gymnasium Jim G.O.M. Jordan, no funding for Ukraine, and they're going to be shaky on Israel. Going right onto the lines, Tatter Billy, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tatter Billy?
Matt, you know, I don't know if there's any historical equivalent of what's going on in the Middle East right now. It's such a hard situation. But I have heard the Palestinian state described as an apartheid state, and I feel like that there's some accuracy to that. And I feel like, you know, the other apartheid state that we're all familiar with is South Africa, and I feel like it was an absolute miracle that Nelson Mandela existed and that situation was resolved in the peaceful manner that it was. So you know, I don't think that sort of a resolution is available. But, man, I do feel like it's an apartheid state, and I can't be surprised when people living under apartheid are pushing back in some way. I mean, it's a horrible situation.
Yeah, Tutter Billy, you have to take into account more history. The apartheid, remember something, Israel has been under attack, genocidal attack by everybody for 2,000 years or more. For all of Europe, it was all Nazified. Britain hung out, and then we came in and saved the day. It is not only insulting, but historically absurd to say that Israel is an apartheid state. Israel has offered to the Palestinians for at least 30 years, maybe more, to give them their own state, to travel freely in Israel, to live in Israel. Israel is 9 million people. About 2 or 3 million of them aren't Jewish. They're Arabs. They like living in Israel. They like democracy. They like freedom. They like the West. They're not rising up. They're not rising up. The apartheid in South Africa was purely racial, purely racist. And this is nothing more than a PR attempt by trying to accuse Israel of being apartheid by people in the Muslim world, and then some gullible African-Americans in this country who just parrot that. Now, why did the Palestinians not agree to recognize Israel? All Israel requested was recognize us as human beings. Recognize us as human beings. We'll travel to each other's countries. There's some intermarriage, that kind of thing. The Abraham Accords and this sort of soft peace between Egypt and Israel has resulted in great things. The Israelis are setting up businesses in the United Arab Emirates. They travel to Egypt. Interesting, you know, the pyramids and all that. It's not Israel. It's not Israel. It's jihad. You must understand something. If you go back to the 7th century, the 600s, Islam was founded in about between 610 and 615. By 690, they'd occupied the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal. They went into France 732 to make that a Muslim state. They made a mistake. The general on the other side was Charlemagne's grandpa, Charles Martel, Charles the Hammer. Charles the Hammer beat that army and threw him out. They've gone into the Balkans, Greece. They try to get to Vienna. In the 1400s, the 15th century, they took Constantinople. They renamed it a name you'll recognize. It's now Istanbul. That was Constantinople. The mosque in Istanbul that's so famous, that was an Eastern Orthodox cathedral in the 1400s. They win. They force people to convert. They treat them with the utmost cruelty. I stand with Israel because I stand with Western democracy. There are plenty of Christians in Iraq and Lebanon and everywhere else who share our values. There are plenty of Muslims who share our values, but they're afraid to speak out because they'll be killed by jihadists. Israel is not the apartheid state. Their enemies want an apartheid state that excludes Israel. And I'll go to the lines right now, but I'll leave you with an anecdote. Joe Biden gave a touching statement, anecdote in his speech yesterday. He said he had just been elected senator from Delaware, and he had the privilege of meeting Golda Meir. Golda Meir, by the way, our library at UWM in Milwaukee is named after Golda Meir. It's the Golda Meir Library. Golda Meir went to North Division High School in Milwaukee. She was a teacher in MPS, I'm not kidding, in River West. Many of you don't know that. He met with her, and he was very flattered that she'd meet with him. He was just elected. And he said, how did you do it in the 73 war, the Yom Kippur War, where Syria and Egypt attacked Israel by surprise, sneak attack, and Israel won? Golda Meir said, we have a secret weapon. Joe Biden said, what is your secret weapon? Golda Meir said, because we have nowhere else to go. You think about that. They're not the apartheid state. Europe was the apartheid state under the Hitler invasions. And jihad is making a pitch for an apartheid state that would kill all Jews. So let's take a look at history and don't start yesterday. And don't start. A lot of people think history started the day they were born. Nobody cares about the day you were born. Nobody cares about the day I was born. History starts a long time ago. We're going to the lines. Chad and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Chad?
Well, Matt, I feel concerned sometimes when you speak that you talk in absolutes about citizens. And all of history isn't today. Your transgressions of hundreds and hundreds of years ago, that's okay and all if you were living during that time and you wanted to be held accountable at that time about those people. I see a lot of chaos and destruction on both sides harming civilians. How would you defend the calculated attacks on just buildings and people just being leveled? Why do you have to pick equals on this? I think it was a calculated choice, just like Putin made a calculated choice to harm innocent people. And I think some aspects of what you want to define as things is what dictatorships do, is what governance always thinks they have to do. We've done it over the 25 years that I could have been in the service. And I watched generations of my friends and family in the past. I defend values and I don't defend governance making calculated choices to just carpet bomb places. And I think sometimes when you speak, you talk about people in absolutes. I've heard you talk about the Russian people as general citizens, as how they're just evil and they need to be wiped out and taken care of. I think I don't listen to this radio station listening to this radio station because it says that it stands for something where they don't do that, where they talk about the truth and let the listeners decide, not pundits talking absolutes about general societies and existence like that. It's just questionable. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call, Chad, and I hope you still continue to listen and to call in. First of all, I have never said that the Russian people are evil and should be wiped out. I've been to Russia. I have friends, frankly, in St. Petersburg and Moscow. And I think there are many fine Russians. I think they have Nazi leadership right now. And I'd like to see their leaders killed. That's what I've said. The second thing is this. David Madison made a good point. Israel could take care of this in a couple of hours. We could have taken care of Afghanistan a couple of hours if we want to commit genocide. We could have nuked Afghanistan. We don't do that. We're part of the West. Israel doesn't do that, and they're going to take a lot of casualties that they don't have to take. But I'll leave you with this. You think about somebody. If a six-month-old infant has its head cut off with a knife, screaming in pain in front of the mother, what do you do? Israel doesn't do that. Their enemies do that. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even
principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knoedl, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 56 this afternoon under overcast skies. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 37 tonight. Mainly clear skies. Mainly clear tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 59. Mid-50s Thursday and Friday. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. Chance for scattered storms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to get back to the speaker race. This is a very, very dangerous predicament right now in our government. I think it's going to be resolved successfully, but I want to lay out to you what it is. After they had their caucus yesterday, they had a secret caucus, and that's not a pejorative. Democrats would do the same thing. You meet, you don't have the press there. The Republicans, one member came out and says that the vote for speaker tomorrow, and by that he meant today's vote, the internal vote in their caucus, will be a cluster F. And he used the whole word for F, the cluster F. Another one came out and said, we have eight members who are insane. We have eight members who are insane. These came from two Republicans. Well, today, they vote to back Scalise 113 to 99. The problem is they need 217 votes. So the protocol normally is two people run against each other, one wins, and then everybody gets behind him. Even Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, because he thinks he knows how he's going to survive in all this, said he'll give a nomination speech for Scalise if they vote tomorrow. Well, now they were going to vote today, and now apparently they've called it off. Why? Because at least six and probably eight won't vote for Scalise because he's the deputy in McCarthy, and they didn't vote for McCarthy. That means Scalise at most will get 213 votes and may only get 209 like before. Now, what do we do? 4 ex-Ohio State University wrestlers, four of them, came out publicly yesterday and said, quote, Jim Jordan shouldn't be speaker. He didn't stick up for his guys, end quote. He knew that the team doctor was sexually assaulting young wrestlers. This doctor apparently would walk in on a guy who was getting dressed for a match and pull his pants down. And the guy would say, doc, that ain't right. Jim Jordan knew that, and he covered it up. They said, do you really want a guy in that job who does not stand up for his guys? Is this the kind of character trait you want in a House Speaker? The Republicans know what the campaign ads will be if Jordan's Speaker, and he ain't going to get it. Scalise was shot, so he thinks he's a hero, but Scalise also said, I am David Duke without the baggage. So what do we do? And I'm going to go to the lines right now, but here's what we do. If Scalise gets eight votes, or straight that, eight people vote against him, and he can't get over the top, he's got to go to Hakeem Jeffries. He's got to go to Representative Clark, the number two from Massachusetts, and Jim Clyburn, number three from South Carolina. And there's not going to be a written document. They've got to say, look, you stick by the Biden-McCarthy deal, clean budget for the next year, till after, way after, actually 15 months till after the presidency has decided. And we want aid for Israel and Ukraine. And if he says, well, some of my guys won't stand for aid to Ukraine, you say, how many more people do you need? Well, another 15 won't do that. Okay, we'll give you 23 votes. This has got to be done for the people of the United States. We're going to the line. I'll take you in order. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Real quick here, I think Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East. I could be wrong in that. But as far as what's going on in Congress, if McCarthy, after he cut that deal, wouldn't have went around and trashed the Democrats, I think he still would be Speaker. At this point in time, I don't know if you're going to be able to fix this, and I hope I'm wrong, but if you can't fix this, we're in big trouble. So thanks, Matt.
Yeah, you're dead right, and the fact of the matter is this. The fact of the matter is, if they can't elect a Speaker, if the Republicans can't elect a Speaker, and they expect us, and I say us, the Democrats, to vote for one of them to stick them over the top to cut off aid to Ukraine. You know, some of them, and there's some senators, they're using this, they put their pinky in the air, you know, this unanimous consent. J.D. Vance and Hawley won't permit any aid for Ukraine, any aid for Ukraine. We still, this is the Senate now. We still do not have 300 plus admirals and generals promoted, demoralized in our service, while we're being threatened around the world. And there's a hot war in Israel right now and in Ukraine. Ukraine is a European country, by the way, and in Ukraine. We don't have ambassadors to Israel and to Egypt. They flank Gaza. We don't have an ambassador for counterterrorism, an ambassador to Oman. You know, right now, ambassadors, promotions, generals, the Senate's letting one guy, in this case, two guys, when you have J.D. Vance and Hawley ganging up, but some, you know, Jim Jordan, Rand Paul won't permit a vote on ambassadors, and Tuberville won't permit a vote on our own military. These are chicken hawks. These are chicken hawks. They're human in name only. A fellow named Hayden, he's a former defense secretary with George W. Bush, and I don't go along with this, but he said that Tuberville should be removed from the human race, which is a call for his execution. I mean, so Republicans, if you believe that, you can easily, by supporting the promotions, supporting the ambassadors, supporting aid to Ukraine and Israel, override the couple of pinky waivers, because that overrides unanimous consent. But you're chicken hawks yourselves. And moderate Republicans and Democrats, you're buttercups. You can easily do that by changing the rules. It only takes majority vote. Doesn't matter what the parliamentarian says. You won't do that either. And in the House, Hakeem Jeffries and Clark and Clyburn and the rest of them have got to go brass knuckles and say, we want a clean budget for 15 months, and we want the deal, McCarthy and Biden's deal, and we want funding for aid for Israel and Ukraine. And then you start casting a net, looking for some fish elsewhere in the Republican Sea. There are 18 congressmen in districts that Biden carried. How hard is this? Are we too aggressive? Do I speak without enough nuance? I hope so. I hope so. We're coming to the end of the show. Great, great callers as always. Stand by for another great show, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crew. Matt Flynn, director, will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
We're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Aldous Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Aldous Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.